Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And which seems funny to say these days, but Ed's a good friend of ours. He's internationally recognized consultant and lecturer and author on many topics. He's written two dozen books and that have sold something under a billion copies galactically. He's one of the guys we go to, especially when we want to focus on the real leading edge thinking in terms of technology, especially the internet. And his new book, I believe the newest one, is called Byte Wars. I'll get him to correct me on that if that's not correct. And again, he's our good friend Ed. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, and congratulations on 10 successful years. That's really terrific.
Well, you know a little bit about that, don't you?
Oh yeah, I started a few companies too. Yeah. Now it's hard work. But you made it. That really is just terrific.
Well, and I thank you for that, for helping me, because you're one of our original Brain Trust members and have been right here for us all this time, and we appreciate that very much. Ed, is Byte Wars the last book?
No, the last book was called Outsource.
Here it is. I've got it right here. Sure it is.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yep, that was the one before that. Outsource, competing in the global productivity race. Ed, folks, I want to do a little tiny PSA here, a little thing that Ed's working on that I want to give him some time to talk about. You may have heard about this. I have heard about it. Ed, go ahead.
Well, there's a project that's been underway for a couple of years to make very low-cost computers so that children in developing countries can finally get their hands on computers. It's called the One Laptop Per Child Project. And starting today, for the next 2 weeks, there's a program that makes it possible for anybody, any one of us, to send $400 in return for which you get two computers, full-powered laptops, one of which is given to a child in a developing nation, the other one gets sent to you. If you go to laptop.org, you can see all the details. But I think this is going to spread computer power to ultimately to the whole human race, which will be terrific.
So if you pay $400, you'll get a computer, and somebody else will get a computer. Is this a computer? And I don't want to minimize. I mean, I guess my point is, what if I wanted both computers to go somewhere else? I mean, not to sound aloof or elitist or anything, but that might not be a computer I want.
It might not be. Although it's going to have a whole lot of innovative features that, for $200, I think would be worth exploring and getting used to. It's got
okay,
a whole new
all right.
user interface. Very elaborate power management. It can run in villages without electricity with solar power and a hand crank. So just to get a sense of where the technology is going, or one direction anyway, it would be educational. And you could give it to your own kid.
Well, the reason
there probably are mechanisms so that if you want to, you could donate both of them to children elsewhere.
Well, my reason for asking that question was totally for the right reasons. I mean, maybe I just rather somebody else have both of them. But the reason why I knew a little bit about this program. I did not know about the fact that it doesn't have to have electricity.
Yeah.
And see, that's the thing. I helped the State Department with a program once with the South African Commercial Union, the oldest commercial union in the world. Those five nations in Southern Africa, and they were talking about how to get their people, make them more entrepreneurial, but these were people who had no electricity.
Yeah, well, that's one of several features that make it a really outstanding piece of technological work. It's also all open source software, so and you can get inside that software and change it yourself if you want. So we're
yeah.
going to start seeing millions of children learning how to program and create their own software without any control by IBM, Microsoft, Apple, or anything.
This can't be bad for the world to have that kind of power, to create opportunities, to grow markets, and this has got to be, in my opinion, a long-term contribution to world peace. What do you think?
I absolutely think so, and I think we should give credit to the man who really has been the driving force behind this. It's Nicholas Negroponte, who used to be head of the MIT Media Lab.
Right.
Do you
know him?
I've met him once or twice. I don't know him well.
Could you help us find him and get him on the show?
Sure, absolutely.
I'd like to get him to tell us some more about this. But give us that website again, then I want to move on.
Laptop.org.
Laptop.org. Check it out, folks, and see if it's something you'd be interested in. Web 1.0, Ed, you were telling us about years ago, which is where I have a website. Ed, come see my website, basically. I have stuff. Come get it. Web 2.0 turns that around, doesn't it?
It does. It says that we can all be publishers. We can all contribute, collaborate, and make our own opinions, ideas, articles, and anything else available on the web. So you see lots of kind of well-known examples of it, such as blogs. There are now 71
right.
million blogs worldwide, where anybody who wants to post any information on anything can do so. And we're seeing more and more examples of so-called wikis, of which probably the best known in the world is Wikipedia,
right.
the online encyclopedia. But a lot of companies are now realizing that they can do the same thing on a smaller scale by setting up wikis for their employees or for retired employees.
For sharing best practices.
Yeah, yeah. Or
so you don't lose the power of your brain trust when people leave.
Exactly. That's exactly so. So it allows brain trust to flourish and to focus on any particular problem or research effort or area of common interest within an organization or outside. So, for example, I took one of my books that is out of print and really needs to be updated, but I don't have time to do it myself, and I turned it into a wiki,
mm-hmm.
and it's on my website so that, you know, if there are students out there who want to update it and add new information and make it more up-to-date, it now belongs to the world rather than my copyrighted intellectual property.
Now, I'm going to push back on you a little bit there, Ed, and when we come back after these messages. Give us your website before we go to the break, Ed.
It's Yordan.com.
Yordan.com. Yordan.com. Check it out, folks. It's a fascinating website. Lots of good stuff there. Much of it for free. 20 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blassing.
Hi, Jim. This is Beverly Inman Ebel, author of Talk Is Not Cheap at TalkListen.com. Congratulations on the 10th anniversary of the Small Business Advocate Show. Way to go, Jim. You did not stop at dreaming. You did it.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour, continuing to celebrate our 10th anniversary on the air. And we're visiting with our good friend Ed Yordan, the author of Outsource. And that book's available wherever books are sold, but also on his website, Yordan, Yordan, Yordan.com. Check it out. Use that website to your advantage. It's right there for you. And your website's like mine, Ed, no barrier to entry. If they can get there, you let them hang out with it.
Absolutely,
And my websites, folks, are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Ed, we're talking about Web 2.0, which you've heard about. Are we fully in Web 2.0? Are we fully entrenched? Is the marketplace, even not, maybe not all adopters, but is the marketplace fully entrenched in Web 2.0?
Well, I think the business community is beginning to think of it as a mainstream concept. The public at large has not yet. It's still kind of at the early adopter stage, but it certainly is moving pretty rapidly in that direction with several different examples and very popular sites.
Let's break down the essence of Web 2.0. Now, part of what I think it is, you said a minute ago, Web 2.0 is being able to collaborate back and forth over the web with customers and associates and peers and colleagues, that sort of thing, or maybe just with the public. Like you said, you mentioned the Wikipedia allows anybody to come in and make a change to some information. And I'm going to ask you a question about that in a second, but it's also not just that. Another part of Web 2.0 is that, okay, I know you got some stuff, Jim. I've been to your website, but I don't need to go back there every time. I want you to send me the stuff that I'm interested in. Is that not part of Web 2.0?
Sure, yeah. RSS, really simple syndication, is one of several technologies that are part of Web 2.0 as well, so that you can subscribe to a website or a news service. I subscribe to about 75 different blogs and news services, so I can follow more efficiently new events and developments in the particular areas that I cover. So I think it is important to emphasize that Web 2.0 is a bunch of technologies, including RSS, podcasts, programming languages like Ajax and so on, plus some business strategies that that businesses are using to take advantage of all this stuff, as well as some social and cultural trends underway. You know, this same kind of collaboration and feedback from the masses, so to speak, is going to be part of our political environment.
Okay, hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that in a second. But the RSS folks, for example, on my website, there are millions of people out there, Ed, who are saying, you know, Jim, I don't care about any of the other guests on your show, but I always want to know when Ed Yordan's going to be on. And so they can come to my website and subscribe to your interviews so that every time you're on my show, they get a copy of it.
Right. Yeah,
so, but you know, all of you millions, you don't want to hear anybody else but Ed. That's what you're doing, I know. And but now, Ed, I want to move back to the first part. One time, we had a phone book, a yellow page. I mean, a phone book, and you could buy a bold placement in the white pages for your business. You could make your business be bold so it would show up in the white pages. Right. One year, the competing yellow book came out. And every listing was bold, and they bragged on that. That was their marketing. Everybody's got bold. Well, you know what, Ed? If everything is bold, nothing is bold. You see what
I
mean?
That is
now, so my point here's
the
so here's my
the internet these days,
here's my point.
So much noise.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
If everybody's an expert, then nobody's an expert.
And as a result, we rely on reputation, among other things, to figure out who we're going to listen to. And that's true with Web 2.0, but it's also true in the world at large. Everybody's got an opinion to offer. Every politician is claiming to solve our problems, and we've got to figure out which one to listen to and which one to trust, because they're all speaking equally loudly.
But doesn't that just increase the clutter instead of increasing the information?
It does, but, amongst the clutter, there are likely to be some new, really useful and valuable sources of information from people other than the official power sources or official, news sources.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity to get that as well, I think, is very valuable. Sometimes it's hard to find it, I agree with you, but it's out there. And you depend on your friends and other trusted sources and various other mechanisms for sifting out the wheat from the chaff.
And hasn't this been, and this whole Web 2.0 thing, that, especially this part we're talking about right now, it's turned traditional media, publishing and broadcast, on its ear, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a paradigm shift.
In different ways.
As Joel Barker would call it, he would call it a paradigm shift, wouldn't he?
He probably would, yeah. I don't know whether it goes quite that far, but it certainly has been a significant shift. In ways that people didn't anticipate. It used to be, for example, that newspapers derived most of their profits from classified ads.
Mm-hmm.
For people, looking for real estate.
Not anymore.
No, because Craigslist came along.
That's right.
There's a Web 2.0 phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And more recently, things like Craigslist began to connect using a technology known as mashups with
right.
Google Maps, so that if you want to see a visual representation of all the available apartments in New York City,
right.
That's now available. That's Web 2.0.
I got to wrap it up, unfortunately. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next time.
Great. Thanks.
Ed Yordan, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be, too, with Steve Forbes right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.